This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's head out west to catch up with Jim Crisco for the Western Regional Report. Jim is a content development specialist for AMI, and he joins us this morning from cold Edmonton, Alberta. Hey, good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Dave. You know what? We're usually cold, but today I think it's only about -3 or -4.
Well, so then we're jealous because it's like -20 in Toronto right now. Jim, let's actually begin in Manitoba, where a couple is helping out people with disabilities overcome bureaucratic red tape. Oh, bureaucratic red tape. That's the worst. So what are they doing to help out the community?
This is a really cool story. The couple's name, and I also love the gentleman's name, Ringo and Wendy Boychuk. So, you know, how can you not do a story about Ringo?
And when there's a Ringo, you got to do a story about Ringo.
Exactly. Well, Wendy has MS. She lives with MS. She's a wheelchair user. And they ran into situations in the past where they had it's very difficult sometimes to navigate the red tape and the bureaucracy of getting, I guess, stuff that's available to the disability community.
Oh, it's punishing. It's punishing. There's paperwork upon paperwork, department upon department.
Absolutely. So they came up with the idea of, since they navigated the system and eventually made it, they're helping other people navigate through it. And this includes also registered disability savings plans, the RDSPs, and getting people on board with that so they can, you know, generate some income for retirement or put away some income for retirement. And so they did this in order to have people not sort of have to suffer the way they did going learning the system, I guess, off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, I think you mentioned the RDSP, which requires becoming eligible for the disability tax credit, and that can be a bureaucratic rigmarole in a big way. So what are some of the common issues that they ran into that they're helping people address?
Well, it's mostly that. It's the tax credits, it's the disability, the RDSP. Many government programs that are available but difficult to access. So they get on board and they help people with that as well. So really, they offer quite a large offering of at least direction and counseling on how to get through this.
Yeah, not to mention there's all kinds of jurisdictional differences, right? Sometimes it's a city support, sometimes it's a provincial support, sometimes it's a federal support, and the paperwork you did to prove your disability on the federal side isn't considered valid by the provincial side. I remember when I was applying for a student loan in Quebec, all of my disability supports had come from the federal government, but then, oh goodness, Revenue Quebec wanted their bite at the apple too, and a whole new round of paperwork came my way as I was trying to figure that out. So I can definitely empathize, and this is certainly an important story, and cool to see this family using the resources they have and the knowledge they have to help other people. So that's really, really great. Jim, let's go from Manitoba, skip over Saskatchewan into Alberta, where a worker shortage for people with disabilities is really affecting people and their families. So how are they being affected by this worker shortage?
Well, what's happening is it's primarily in rural Alberta. So some of the smaller towns, the example in the story from the CBC was a gentleman named Michael Marchuk. He's 47 and he lives in Bonnyville, Alberta, or he did live in Bonnyville, Alberta. And he was eligible for a 24-hour caregiver in order to help with the different aspects of life for him to live his day. And what happened is they just couldn't find the local service agencies couldn't find anyone to fill the spot. He had to end up moving with his brother over to Vancouver. And the issue is not necessarily that he can't access the funding or anything like that. That's all in place. it's finding workers to fill these positions.
Yeah.
And exacerbated largely by the pandemic.
So the pandemic certainly is a big part of that. But again, there's also that urban-rural divide that you've identified. So many times people with disabilities are forced to go to urban centers. One, because generally buildings are a little bit more accessible in urban centers. Two, there's more services available. But Jim, that comes with the consequence of much higher cost of living. So to get the services, you have to pay more to live, which becomes a huge, huge round circle and vicious cycle. So is there anything being done to try and improve this process or work this out for people with disabilities in rural Alberta?
Well, they are trying to, they're always trying to hire new and more people. There's been requests put into the government to increase the wages. Because, you know, in rural Alberta, sometimes you're competing against oil and gas or other higher paying jobs. So people will gravitate to the higher paying jobs. So they are trying to do that. The government is working with the agencies in the area to try to fill the positions. Once again, another thing, Dave, is some of these people have to move away from friends and family in order to find caregivers. And that's really hard as well. So let's try to keep them in the communities they're familiar with.
Yeah, you'd lose some of the more interpersonal supports that you have for the sake of getting caregiving support, which again becomes a terrible, terrible choice for people to have to make. And again, sometimes home has been home for their entire life, and now you have to do a whole new orientation and mobility to be elsewhere as well. Hey, Jim, we're asking everybody this question today. It's our daily poll. So far, we've gotten some takes out of British Columbia, out of Quebec, out of Ontario. I want to ask you from an Alberta perspective, because we're hearing so much about inflation and the consumer price index. And this question's up at AMI Audio on Twitter, Accessible Media Inc. on Facebook. Jim, have you noticed your grocery bill going up? Have you noticed a substantial increase?
Yes, absolutely. I've noticed two things. One is a raise in prices or smaller portions of different goods. So yes, I would say the bills have gone way up.
Yeah, I find we're talking about it earlier in the show. It's certainly things like meat and fresh produce are big ones. You mentioned sort of smaller portions are there. And it's really forcing people to make decisions and be a little more frugal and do some price hunting. But that can be difficult in the pandemic as well, because you don't want to be lingering in the middle of a grocery store with COVID cases surging away. Hey, Jim, thank you for making time for us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.